title of our sermon series through the book of Colossians is Jesus over everything. Everything was created by him, through him, and for him. And everything is held together by him. So he is Lord over all of it. And that makes sense when we stand out in creation and look at the giant sky, right? And see the stars at night. Because the stars at night are deep, big, and bright. It helps if I get the words better. But in order for us to even see the stars at night, we've got to drive like an hour out of town, right? Which is good for your prayer life, because nothing makes you pray, "Jesus, take the wheel," like I-10. Right? Nothing actually works that way. It makes sense when you think of creation. It makes sense that Jesus is over everything when we come to church. Yes, of course he is. Jesus is Lord over this. But a lot of times there can be a disconnect when we step away from creation and we step away from the church and we step into our own homes. Now, mind you, we would never object to Jesus being Lord over our homes. We might even have a sign from Hobby Lobby that says something like, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But if we're honest, the hardest place to live out our faith isn't at church. It's in our living rooms. The truth is, most of the time we don't even think about it. Home is where you relax. Home is where you let your guard down. Home is where you put your feet up. Home is where you stop trying. So we don't even think about the question, what would it look like for Jesus to be Lord over my home? And we talked about last week being Jesus being Lord over your marriage. I'm just curious, did that facilitate any interesting conversations this week? Anybody? I kind of hope it did. In a good way, I hope they were constructive. But listen, not a single week goes by that I'm not challenged by the very word I bring to you from the Bible. Not one week. So if it's going to challenge me every week, I hope it challenges you too. Last week we talked about Jesus being Lord over our marriages. This week is going to build off of that, because Jesus is Lord over the whole family. So if you found your way there, would you stand with me as we read verses 20 and 21 out of Colossians 3 as we read this together? It says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Father, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." Be seated. And before we dig into these verses, I want to reemphasize something from last week. Last week, I pointed out that Paul gives both dignity and agency to the women in Colossae. In that same verse, God gives dignity and agency to every woman who reads his word. He does not command them through their husbands. "Hey, you tell them to submit." That's not how it works. Paul instructs them to submit themselves to their husbands. And I pointed out that submission looks like choosing to follow your husband's leadership willingly because Jesus calls you to. And I said then, that's not the same thing as obedience. It's not the same thing as obedience. You say, Pastor David, how do you know? How do you know that's not the same thing as obedience? Because in verse 20, he commands children to obey, and are you ready for this? He uses a different word, which means obedience and submission, not the same thing, because it's two different words in the Greek and in the English, it turns out. But in the same way that Paul is extending dignity and agency to women, and the same way that that was a radical concept in the first century, his writing to children and not just about children is just as radical. It is massive. Yes, the Bible has instructions for parents. We're told what we should teach to our children in Scripture. But Paul's words here to the children in Colossae prove that children aren't the future. They matter now. They're part of the church now, not the church in the future, off somewhere down the road. The Apostle Paul is writing specifically to the children in Colossae, and he tells them to obey their parents. Are you ready for this? In everything. Praise God. All the parents together say amen. That's right. So the command to children is obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Some of you have heard it so many times, you thought the second half of that verse was children, obey your parents in everything because I said so. No, it's because this is what pleases God. But can I just admit something real quick? Sometimes I wish God would have given me the job of giving the instructions to children. Because I would have said, children, obey your parents in everything. I wouldn't change that at all. But then I might add, and do the dishes every now and then. Don't forget to take out the trash. Your shoes do not belong at the bottom of the stairs. I raise you to be independent, not to move to another state. Stuff like that. I'd have added stuff like that. But what I want us to see here in Paul's letter is so much better. And if you're taking notes, here's what I want to encourage you to write down. Here's number one. You ready? Jesus gives children purpose, not just rules. Jesus gives children purpose, not just rules. Instead of a list of rules, Jesus gives them a purpose. Paul gives them a purpose to please the Lord. Why should we obey? Why should they obey their parents? Is it because we're smarter sometimes? Is it because we're wiser? I hope so. But ultimately, children should obey their parents, not because their parents deserve it, but because that's what pleases God. You see, God has placed every child under the authority of his or her parents. And God will judge the parents based upon the manner in which they wield or use that very authority. Parents who abuse their authority will be judged harshly. But make no mistake, it is their authority. But like last week, we need to be clear here. Paul is not commanding first century children to obey parents who harm them or abuse them. He is not making room for an abuse of authority. But he says, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to God. And I try to struggle, sometimes you wrestle with a text, like, why doesn't he give them that out there? Why doesn't he say, hey, obey your parents in everything, unless, you know, they're crazy? And then it struck me, Do you remember when you were a teenager? Do you remember when you were a teenager and you got grounded for something that was like totally unfair? And you decided that it was totally unfair, and therefore your parents were the worst ever? Because every teenager thinks that. Every teenager is like, my parents aren't fair, therefore their authority should not count to me because they're the worst parents ever. Here's the thing, the instruction to please the Lord with our obedience, which probably wasn't top of mind in the moments that we were thinking about our parents. In those moments, don't we tend to just dismiss our parents' corrections whenever we disagree with them? Don't we already do that? Don't we already go, well, I disagree with mom and dad, therefore I don't have to listen to them. And that's not an impression of any of my children, necessarily. Someone once told me, you know, David, here's your problem. You've got a problem with authority. And I said, no, actually, I'm fine with authority as long as I agree with it. Which, in retrospect, might have been their point. Some of us do that with our parents, though. Some of us do that. But the most important thing here is I want us to see that Jesus is giving the children a purpose, an aim, something to strive for, not just rules. Their purpose is to please the Lord with their behavior. Their purpose is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Their purpose then is worship. Worship in the way they live. In this verse, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is calling children to worship the Lord and to bring Him glory by obeying their parents. And last week I said, the fact that God commands our wives to submit themselves to our leadership, that should fall heavily on our shoulders. Because it's not permission for us, it's a responsibility laid upon us. In the same way, parents, I need you to see that the instruction to our children to obey us as their parents in everything, that should fall heavy on our shoulders, because it's not permission to get what we want. It's not permission to take advantage of them. No, it's an incredible responsibility that God has given us. Especially when He follows that command with verse 21. Fathers. And I do think it's interesting, he uses the word for parents, for both parents, in the previous verse. And then in this verse, Paul puts his finger on fathers. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Now, kids in the room, eyes up here. Look at me real quick, okay? Eyes up me, look at me real quick. Whenever your parents recite to you verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Listen to me. Do not simply recite verse 21 back at them. Well, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Let me tell you what, I tried that when I was a kid and it did not go well. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. But fathers, listen, and Paul's words here are directly to fathers, but I do think we can expand the concept of this more broadly, but I'm gonna follow Paul's lead here, and I'm gonna lean in on the men for a little bit. That word don't exasperate. That word gets translated in a handful of different ways. It's the idea of provoking and frustrating and irritating. And I looked up the word, and the more I looked into it, the more clarifying it kind of became, because this word kind of means that it's that nagging of your children. It's that being overly demanding more of them than they're really capable of offering. It's this idea of being impossible to please. That's what Paul means when he says don't exasperate. Like, don't be impossible and difficult for your kids, because you're going to discourage them. Listen, men, and I want you to write this down. Number two, fathers shape hearts, not just habits. Fathers shape their children's hearts, not just their habits. Everything you instruct them may, in fact, matter. But the manner in which you instruct them matters too. The way you correct them matters. Because you're not just shaping what they will do when they grow up. You're shaping who they are becoming. And ultimately, you can either raise a rule follower or you can raise a worshiper. You can't raise both. Don't get me wrong. I'm pro following the rules, as long as I agree with them. We've already established that. No, I'm pro following the rules. I'm dutiful is my personality type. But rule following only pleases the one who makes the rules. And one of the problems we see in our culture, in our context, in this particular moment, is that the rule makers don't always have our best in mind, do they? And the rule makers change. But the God who is worthy of our love and devotion, the God we worship, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I grew up in the pre-GPS days when we had to use paper maps. Where am I by paper map users? How many of y'all have ever tried to fold that map back up to get it back in the glove box? You just gave up and crunched it back together, right? I grew up in the pre-GPS days, but I also grew up in the beginning of the internet time. And so when I took a job in the summer after my sophomore year in college, I took a job in Iowa. I went to mapsonus.com. I go to mapsonus.com and I put in the address that I was going to, and I put in the address that I was starting from. And I had turn-by-turn directions. Turn left here, turn right here, turn left here, turn right here. And that worked fantastically until I missed one turn and got off course. And at that point, it was useless until I got back on track. See, the problem with paper directions is there is no rerouting. Left and right were no longer helpful to me at all. I needed north and south, right? Listen, men, when you shape the hearts of your kids, when you mold them into worshipers eager to please Lord Jesus, you're going old school. You're no longer giving them this detailed list of directions. You're giving them a North Star, and they can figure out the rest from there. But men, we need to notice that the text tells children that obedience to parents is pleasing to the Lord. And then it immediately turns to us as fathers. It immediately turns to us and says, fathers, don't be unpleasable. Their obedience to you is pleasing to God. Don't be unpleasable. Do you see what he's saying? Some of y'all are harder to please than Jesus is. Listen, I don't pretend to be a perfect daddy. Far too often, let me be honest, far too often this was me, demanding, impossible to please. But at some point or another, Krista and I realized that we were losing our minds trying to change their behavior because it was a losing effort. Why? Because I can't even change my behavior. Jesus can. And Jesus has. And Jesus does. So what if instead of holding my kids up to such a high standard that they'll never reach, what if instead I point them to the God who loves them, whose standard I'll never reach, but who paid the penalty of sin in my place and reconciles me to himself? Here's the truth that we don't want to admit. The way fathers lead and love their children will either help the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of their children, or it will hinder it. It will either help the Spirit, or it will hinder the Spirit. So men, specifically, I've got a third point just for you. Here we go. Let Jesus and not your temper rule your home. Let Jesus and not your temper rule your home. Some of you grew up in homes where your father's voice was the loudest thing in the house. When he was angry, everyone in the house walked on eggshells. And when he was calm, everyone still walked on eggshells. And when you messed up, you didn't just fear the consequences of your actions, you feared him. That shapes you. Because when you mess up now, you don't run to your father, you run from him. But the gospel flips that. When you understand who God is, when you see Jesus' arms stretched wide on a cross, you realize you don't have to hide anymore. You can come home. So dads, what if you modeled that kind of love? What if you demonstrated that kind of forgiveness? What if your kids knew, I can tell my dad anything and he will still love me? What if they saw the gospel in the way you parented them? What if they saw the gospel even in the way that you disciplined them and not just the legalism in the rules that you gave them? What if instead of controlling our homes, what if we consecrated them to God? What if instead of shouting orders, we started to speak blessings? And instead of losing our tempers, what if we laid down our pride? Dads, what would it look like if we stopped trying to be the boss of our homes and we started being the priests of our homes? What if instead of shouting orders, we began lifting prayers? Because the same Jesus who holds the universe together, listen to me, he wants to hold your home together too. And men, there's no escaping this. It starts with us. It starts with us. Maybe today you need to take your wife by the hand and say, listen, I've been leading with control, not with Christ. Can we start over? Maybe you need to pull your kids close and tell them, listen, I've been too hard on you. I want you to know the grace of Jesus and not just the rules in our house. Maybe for some of you, it's not your temper that needs to change. It's your heart. You need to let Jesus be your Lord, not just of your home, but of your entire life. Because men, you can't lead in a way pleasing to Jesus. You can't lead your children well to Jesus unless you have been changed by Jesus first. You can't stand up for your family until you've knelt at the cross. You can't carry the burden of responsibility and leadership until you've handed your burden of sin over to Jesus. Some of you don't need to commit yourself to leading your family well. You need to commit to following Jesus well first. You can't change your behavior, friends. But Jesus can. So, as we move into a time of response, as Terry and the worship team come forward. Men, listen to me. Men, I'm asking you to lead. I'm asking you to take the initiative. I'm asking you to take the lead by praying over your families. Some of you are like, David, great sermon on children and parents. We got no kids. Great. Great. Pray for them. Pray for some. Pray for your wife. Begin now to model Christ at home when it's your helpmate who can look at you and say, what's going on here? Ladies, pray for your husbands. When he awkwardly tries to begin leading in a way that he hasn't led before, don't cross your arms and say things like, well, I sure wish you'd have done this 20 years ago. Don't do that. Pray for him. Pray for him. Encourage him. Parents, pray for your children. Parents, this morning, after we pray, here's my encouragement to you. Bring your children to the altar and pray over your children. Get in the habit of them hearing you pray. And church, listen, we need to pray for every home represented in this room. That Jesus would reign over every home and every heart. And listen, friends, if you don't know Jesus, if he's not the Lord of your life yet, today is the day to come home. Because when Jesus is Lord over your life, he'll be Lord over your family too. Would you pray with me?